I panicked for a minute. Leslie walked out. How ironic, lost the order of service. Well, a very good afternoon, very warm welcome to Paignton Baptist Church today. On behalf of Leslie, Maria, Rachel and the rest of the family, I just want to welcome you this afternoon to our service. From the invitation for the service, some of you might have thought it was a celebration of life service. Some of you might think it's a thanksgiving service. It's both. It's both. We're giving thanks to God today for both the man and his ministry here at Paignton, elsewhere, Stowborough, Creekmore, Canford, back to Swanage days as well. So we're giving thanks for that. We're giving thanks, but we're also celebrating Stephen's legacy today. He leaves Paignton Baptist Church better than he found it. He's left a revitalized church. He's left lives that have forever been changed by God's word and his Holy Spirit. That's what we're celebrating. The more observant of you will have noticed you've been listening to extracts from the Messiah for the last 15 minutes. It was written nearly 300 years ago, and yet, doesn't it remain perhaps the best piece of music in the world? Certainly the best piece of choral music. The three very specific components of the 2.5 hours of the Messiah that you've been listening to, and I chose them specifically. The first one was, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And it's the words lifted straight from Scripture, as all of Handel's libretto was. It's from Job 19. And you know the struggles with life that Job had. You don't need to know the Bible, even. It's such a secular thing, isn't it, the struggles that Job had. This was the man who said, "God might take my life, but I have no other hope." And then when he's able to say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," that's the model of hope that Stephen was. What Stephen modeled here, the last 6 months particularly, was hope, faith, and trust. You've probably all seen that in your dealings with him over the years, but those that have been up close as church family will have seen that the last 6 months. The second piece of the Messiah we listened to was "Worthy is the Lamb." Again, lifted straight from Scripture, Revelation 5, where the Apostle John has this incredible insight into what's going on in heaven right now. And that choral sound of "Worthy is the Lamb," that's what Stephen's doing right now. Stephen is before the throne in glory, and he's joined with the angels and the saints, and he's singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And then I don't need to tell you what the last piece was, do I? The Hallelujah chorus. Looking forward, and this is Revelation 19, it's looking forward to Jesus coming again, when the likes of Stephen, those that know Jesus as their Savior, will be resurrected. They will be resurrected, which is why the Hallelujah chorus says, "And we shall reign forever and ever, King of kings, Lord of lords, Hallelujah." We're going to meet again if you know the Lord and you knew Stephen. And it all comes to this beautiful head in the last but one chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21, that just celebrates what happens when Jesus returns. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" That's why this is a celebration, folks. That's why we're celebrating a life well lived. I have to do a boring bit, housekeeping. It's the old thing. We're not expecting a fire alarm. But if there is, please exit through the front of the building, and the meeting place is across the road in the garage car park. Sorry, I have to be that functional. More importantly, after the service, everyone is invited by Leslie and the family to join us for an afternoon tea in the church hall at the back. We're asking everybody to leave the building by the front doors and walk up Clifton Road here, enter the hall at the back. It's just much safer than 200-odd people rushing up the stairs for a piece of cake. Let's just commit our time to the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your unfailing love for each and every one of your creation. We thank you that Stephen is with you this afternoon in glory. He's singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And we get a chance to join in our own way as we bring worship and praise to you in our celebration and our thanksgiving. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We invite you to move amongst us. Would you be in our hearts and minds that we would glorify Jesus in all that we do this afternoon? In his name, amen. You've got everything that's going on in your orders of service. It will be on the screens as well. We're going to start with a great hymn, and no coincidence, it's also linked to what we were just reading in Scripture. There is a higher throne, and we're going to sing these words: "Before the Son we stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promised grace. Hear heaven's voices sing." It's what we were just reading. It's what Handel had in mind. It's what inspired him. So, thank you. Stand and sing, please.
Glory.
Please be seated. Maria is going to bring us a poem.
I wrote this for Dad for Father's Day, last Father's Day. So. We love you, Grandad, oh so dear. Your wisdom and your love are clear. An inspiration through and through. You've shown us how to live life true. We cherish games and hearty laughs, digging potatoes, garden crafts, fetching the rhubarb and playing by the sea, waving at the trains with joyful glee. So many memories we now hold tight, moments with you, pure delight. No longer can we be together, so we'll hold you in our hearts forever.
We're going to stand and sing another great hymn now, How Great Thou Art. Please rise. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Shouts of acclamation, and take me home
What joy shall fill my heart? Then I'll I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Please be seated. I'm going to invite Rachel to come up and, yes, over there. I know.
Oh, right, I brought the whole wadge of tissues, so we'll see how this goes. Can I move this? It feels too formal. Yeah. Is that okay? It feels a bit formal for Dan. Right, there we go. And then I've got somewhere to put my tissues. Right. Hello. It is so lovely to, first of all, look out this room to see so many faces who have their own personal memories of Dad. Perhaps he touched your life for just a moment. Perhaps you've known him all of his life or somewhere in between. No matter how long you knew him, I'm sure you attest to his energy and enthusiasm for life and his love for Jesus and overflowing love for people, including his devotion, care and compassion for his wife, daughters and their families, especially his later years as granddad, champion of mischief, which he had a fantastic T-shirt for. Thank you to Helen, Graham, so they're the dad's brother and sister, Leslie, obviously his wife, and Maria for contributing to this tribute. Brace yourselves, it is quite long, it's 4 pages, not going to lie. there are so many more things that we can say, and I hope we can all share over the afternoon. I've already had lovely conversations with people who on the drive here have been reminiscing and remembering things. We all have our memories of Dad, and just please come and chat to us and share us with them. As I say, depending on if you knew him a short time or a long time. Much has been reflected on previously in life, as you know, we've had thanks and celebratory services when he's left previous churches, and so much will have been said about those times. So I haven't included everything I could have done, but please talk to us, talk to everyone, and we look forward to hearing a tribute from Paynton this afternoon. Thank you for leading us so far, Mark and Lou. Thank you for the many personal messages of support and memories that we've already had. Mum has many a card around her living, dining room, hallway. Me and Maria have received gifts. And you know, just thank you so much for the love and support. And thank you so much for Paynton family for hosting. Quite an intimidating thing with this number of people coming to this church. It's wonderful that they've hosted us and for sorting tea and things this afternoon. So let's start at the beginning. So these are Helen and Graham's memories. So Stephen was born on the 9th of March 1961 in a Poole nursing home and made an immediate impact because he was apparently the biggest baby the staff had encountered for a long time, weighing in over 9 pounds. Now, me and my husband are paediatricians. We've seen much bigger. But 9 pounds is pretty good. Helen was 4 years old when Stephen was born, and brother Graham came 2 years later. They lived in Broadstone, Dorset, throughout their childhood. Helen's earliest memories of Stephen as a baby were that he was very bouncy and once managed to bounce himself out of his pram on the front porch, much to his mum's consternation, but he was fine, suffered no injury. Good thing he bounced well. Growing up, Stephen was a very outgoing child, happy, noisy, always larger than life, and very enthusiastic about everything. Stephen liked being outside, playing ball games in the recreation ground in Broadstone, and enjoyed playing on the swings, slides and roundabouts there. He used to go on many adventures in the local Delft Woods on their bikes. Helen has many family memories of weekend outings, flying kites at Martindown, walking around Bradbury Rings and visiting Corfe Castle. They spent many happy hours at the beach at Flaghead Chine, where they had a beach hut, and the family were privileged to go on many holidays, both at home and abroad, especially in 1973, a tour of USA from Florida up to Niagara Falls in New York. Graham, his brother, remembers him as very active and outgoing, always wanting to be up and about doing things, with a strong competitive attitude. He particularly recalls many fun games of swing ball with him on the lawn and family card games of Black Mariah, Rummy, Newmarket, and board games like Go for Broke, Monopoly, Totopoly after lunch and also at their dad's parents' house. Helen also made reference to these board games with Dad and Graham on weekend afternoons, and nothing pleased Stephen more than winning. In fact, he used to make quite a fuss if he didn't. Graham notes that Stephen was always his big brother, being 2 years and 3 months older than him, so he looked up to him and followed his lead into middle and grammar school, St John the Baptist Church Choir in Broadstone, the first part-time jobs in the local supermarkets, and then to university. So Stephen, primary school, let's go back to how active he was. He used to race off down the road, try to get to the gate first, can picture him doing it. Helen remembers they lived so close that he usually came home for lunch and raced down the road again before the bell rang. The new Broadstone Middle School opened a couple of years later, and Stephen was among the first pupils to attend. Later, at the age of 12, he went to Poole Grammar School and used to ride there on his bike. At home, a lot of time was spent climbing trees in the garden, endless hours of swinging very high on the swing, and building dens with their dad. They used to have campfires, cook sausages and twists, some sort of bread dough. And that was the start of his love of outdoors and camping with Cubs and Scouts later on. Stephen and his dad had a great time when they went to Brownsea Island for the father and son camp, where Stephen was able to put all his camping skills learned in the garden at home. Now, I've not written this in, but there was a lot of camping that we did, and I remember having to sit in hurricane force winds that Dad made Mum sit on the edge of a tent while we tried to put it up. So obviously his count and cub skills were still to be desired and still to be developed. Stephen, Dad was the choir boy at St John's Church in Broadstone and made a lot of good friends through the church and youth club, did well at school academically and decided to pursue a career in land management and estate agency following in his dad's footsteps. He went to Reading University and subsequently worked in his father's firm. Graham will miss him greatly, his constant love and positive attitude to life founded on his strong Christian faith for all his adult life. I think you can agree with me, we can see the makings of the man many of us knew today. And there are so many parallels with our childhood experience, but more on that later. So finding out he had his first job at Brentwood, whilst on holiday in Newfoundland, like you do, he went straight from the airport to church, where he would meet his future wife. Mum's first impression of Dad was, "What a Wally." So he turned up in a three-piece suit, the only clothes he had, to an evening youth and early 20s service. And this was the time of the M25 being built, so most others were workmen in their ripped jeans and pit boots. What a Wally. But they were married on the 10th of November 1984, 15 months after that first meeting, having got engaged in the March. Moving into their first flat that winter, they would have to chisel the frost off the inside of the windows. They were therefore delighted to move to Creekmoor a year later to live in a semi-detached house with central heating. Dad had come to work for his father's business, Fox and Sons, eventually striking out on his own, setting up a partnership with Sir Gregory Wright and Coles as charter surveyors in Poole. The blue and yellow signs, for anyone that's local, I remember seeing them all round town, where he would work for many years. Dad had a successful career alongside his family and church life at Christchurch. Thank you for those who've come from there. Creekmoor evolved with worship, part of the PCC, welcoming on the door, helping with creche, Sunday school, running the Alpha course, essentially all elements of church life. Growing up in Poole, we had lots of chances to visit the beach. As mentioned, to the family beach hut. Who would be the first to see the sea as we ran down the Chine, which I'm pleased to say our girls have learned that that's important to know who sees the sea first. And the long walk back up, it was quite a hill. After a fun-filled day of beach games, swimming, and fruitless attempts at skimboarding, hilarious to try, whilst Mum took a well-earned rest, snoozing the day away. Something I now understand a lot better now I'm a mum myself. In later years, Studland Beach became a firm family favourite, especially the traditional Boxing Day walk. And the site of a freezing cold November geography experiment throwing oranges in the sea to look at offshore drifts. Thanks, Maria, for her geography A-level thing. Oh, it was cold. But it was so typical of Dad to wholeheartedly help out with schoolwork, spell check countless essays, and listening on the phone when I was desperate to come home from university or quit the overwhelming, difficult vocation of medicine I had chosen. Without the firm but loving no and unwavering support and cheerleading from Mum and Dad, I certainly wouldn't have the career that I love in paediatrics now, or in fact, many of the ventures we have all been on. Dad always encouraged us to learn and to try out many sports and activities, often just with him outside the house on the cul-de-sac, on the beach, or at the local leisure centre. His competitive nature, particularly apparent in racket sports, he knew just where to put the ball to keep that rally going and then win the point at the end anyway. In fact, on the monumental day I finally beat him at squash, I believe he stated he was perhaps getting too old to play now. Classic. He was about 55, maybe, I don't know. Board and card games featured heavily in our childhood too, with many memories playing Benny on Eurocamp holidays to France. Oh, the simple rhythm of breakfast pastries, beach trips, cheese and red wine for lunch, followed by snoozing. Again, totally understand that one now. Before the round of crazy golf in the afternoon. Benny continued to be a firm family favourite, and even with the impacts of cancer and a syringe driver full of medication, including dazlamorphine, he still beat Mum, Adam and I in his last 2 weeks of life. So, back to growing up. As Mira and I both got older, I remember Dad saying he couldn't wait for us to reach teenage years. He relished the chance to have more adult discussions about life, see us grow more independent, and of course, to embarrass us, often by giving our teenage friends hugs whenever they came round. In fact, in my circle of friends, his regular outfit of shorts, socks and sandals gained him the nickname Jesus. Slightly heretical, I hear you say, but he didn't help himself, turning up at a friend's house in all white, as beardy as you remember him, with the sun rising behind him. What he did bring as we grew up was words of wisdom, listening ear, and just complete unconditional love. Dad was always there with the right words at the right time. One of the last holidays I went on with Mum and Dad down to Seven Cove in Cornwall, we sat on the coast path watching the sunset. I was lonely, wanting my own partner in life to create memories with and build the kind of amazing partnership him and Mum had modelled to us. I can't actually remember what he said, but as they say, it's not what people say that matters, it's the way they make you feel. I was so pleased Dad got to see me married to a wonderful son-in-law who, although he needed a 45-minute discussion to give his permission, he was very... There was a funny joke at the beginning that Adam tried to pull off, which was funny as well, so I'll ask Adam about that later. He was very thankful for Adam and loved him dearly. The same can really be said for Pete too. On Christmas Day, I was very moved to see him thank both Adam and Pete for looking after his girls. I guess I'm most thankful that he showed me Jesus. He prayed with me at bedtime and showed me a life totally full of his love, outpouring to those around him, both at home, work and church. So, of course, it was no surprise in my early teen years when he followed the call to train as a lay pastor at Bristol Baptist College. Sorry, it's 5 pages. No 3-point sermon here, I'm afraid. Yes, this took him and Mum on a journey, initially to a placement at Camford Heath Baptist, speaking and then assisting at Swanage and Stobra Baptist churches, and finally completing training and taking up his first pastor post in Stobra in 2007. Maria was at university then, and Rachel would soon follow. I would soon follow. And I thought I might be crying by this point, so I went into third person. so then we were two. So Mum and Dad continue a peaceful life on the Isle of Purbeck. In fact, after several years, Dad left his secular work and took up being a pastor full-time. This was quite an adjustment, having time in his week to reflect and not just do. The loss of structure and phone calls, meetings, replaced with time to pray and learn the joy of walking with God, formulating his sermons and the direction for church, as well as pastoral chats. As a child, I remember we couldn't go anywhere in Poole without bumping into someone he knew. Well, now this was legitimate pastoral business. So even if it was on his day off, walking with Leslie into Wareham or along the Swanage seafront. Dad loved fellowship with Christians, both in church, over lunch, wonderfully hosted by Mum, in our prayer or home groups, summer socials, and across the town at Saturday. On Saturday morning coffee at Wareham, bringing the churches together. Thank you, Nathan. Yes, they spoke at our small family crematorium about the unity that Dad brings. He loved people. He loved Christians being together, and he loved non-Christians seeing that and sharing Jesus' love. It's safe to say that Mum obediently followed God's call and supported Dad at many points in their lives together, possibly most sacrificially on this pastoring journey, mourning the loss of our Creekmore family home and stepping into an unknown life as a pastor's wife. So here, I would like to pause and recognise my mum. A good friend recently said to me, "It's not just your dad we have lost, but the force that is the causes." Thank you, Mum, for the loving home you made, the launchpad for all Dad would do, the man he would be, and the amazing partnership and mission you would become. You see, for all Dad's enthusiasm and outspokenness, Mum was the listening ear, a calming person who could confide in and seek support, calmly sat in church, waiting for those who needed her. For all Dad's love and expressions of worship, he had a beautiful musician for a wife, who has grown and blossomed into a leader herself. Alongside his ideas, visions, dreams and projects, he had an anchor and a sounding board to refine and hone those ideas. Mum couldn't possibly have known the amazing things God was calling them to, as none of us can, and she never dreamed she would have a house to fit all the family for, visiting with a sea view from her bed, walkable distance to the beach, steam train to Dartmouth, and grandchildren half an hour away. I have to say, I'm surprised they love Paignton, no offence. so much, I mean. But could see Dad, see God working, not the church, I should say. So could see Dad, God working all things to his plan. Having decided to follow God's leading and move to Paignton in 2018, he was called to ministry at Paignton Baptist Church. I know David will bring reflections from church, but I'm so grateful for the welcome and support Dad received here. I've often told friends they've been living their best life these last few years, and how, Mum, I've seen you grow and find a life of your own, as well as working alongside Dad in church and across the town. Many of you will know, we're coming into land, as he would say. Many of you will know, Dad oozes Jesus. He can't help but worship and speak of his love and welcome for all people. In this town, Dad has built many relationships, both within the church, down Winner Street, and beyond across the bay in the southwest. And I know many will have felt the presence of God when in Dad's company. If you're a Christian, you know that's God's Holy Spirit that we all carry with us if we know the Lord. If you don't know about that, but recognise the peace and power Dad spoke with, come along here one Sunday, or ask any of us at the front, and find out more what made Dad the man he was. His last weeks of life continued to be full of worship and word, leading his family in prayer each night for peace with whatever challenges would come. He had a deep faith for the God who cares and holds all things in his control. We are so thankful for those involved in his care in those last days, the flying nurses of Rowcroft, the support from church family with meals, kind words and prayers of healing. He is now at peace with his Lord and Saviour for eternity in paradise. He was a wonderful husband, father, grandfather, brother, pastor, man, and will be so dearly missed. So to end the poem, my husband is a man of few words. Stephen John, now he's gone, born in Dorset, died in Devon, now with Jesus crowned in heaven.
Thank you, Rachel. So now it's your turn. This is where we go off-piste. This is where hopefully you've had a few memories jolted. And I'm going to do the very brave thing of coming down there with a microphone. Not time for everybody. We're just looking to have a few folks share a memory, an anecdote. If you don't get picked, if you don't want to tell everybody, there's a couple of memory books, actually. There's one on the table as you go out, and then as you come round to the tea hall, there'll be memory books up there as well. So anybody and everybody gets a chance to write a memory down. I am going to come into the relay hall next door. They'll hear that 5 seconds after I just said it. So you'll have to excuse me at some point going through there. But we'll start in here and take 2, 3, 4 folks that might want to share a life-changing encounter you had with Stephen, a funny anecdote, a truth from God's word that he's planted into your life. You get to choose, but please help me keep it to 2 minutes maximum, and we'll see where we go. So, into the unknown. Charlie's hand was up first, so I'm going to Charlie. There you go.
Okay, so a couple of things. I think, firstly, and on a sort of more serious note, Stephen was just always so, as his daughters have said, so wise, you know, provided such wise counsel. And as has already been said, in a phenomenal combination with Leslie. I mean, when I came to faith, I'm not going to rehash that whole long journey now, but, he was just so instrumental and supportive, and as I say, I could go on forever about that. But he conversed with me about baptism. He found the fact that, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm blind, so he found the fact that I wanted Blinded by Your Grace as my baptism song absolutely hilarious. He baptized me, you know, was just so instrumental, and will ever, forever hold a really special place in my heart. And then on a more funny note, this was not long after I came to faith, actually. We were in church and he was preaching one Sunday, and I'm not going to name which one it was, but to avoid embarrassing anyone, but one of the grandchildren had a paddy, as little kids do, and mum took the child out. Stephen paused, looked over and went, "Bye, darling," like that. And it's, I don't know, it's just a phrase we say all the time now. And I also remember when we would be the last people out of coffee after church, and he used to sing, "It's time to go home." So it's okay, Stephen, we get the point. So Stephen is now at home with the Lord, where he belongs, where we all belong. And you know, we know it's "Bye, darling," for now, but only for now.
Thank you.
Speaking to people who attended Toddler Cafe here at the church and Messy Church, I'd like to give you some comments. People commented, quote, "He touched my life and my dad's life. He gave good hugs. He always listened to us. He was a brilliant guitarist, and we loved joining in with his songs at Parent and Toddler Cafe. He was one of the gentlest men I have met, always so sweet and kind to my daughter. The world needs more people like him. He will be greatly missed by adults and children alike."
Hello, I'm Margaret. I'm one of the Christchurch Creekmore crew that have come over. Stephen, Leslie, Anne-Marie and Rachel have were a great part of our church for many years. Christchurch will be 40 years old next week, and we have been looking at old photographs, and there's some interesting old photographs there of the little ones when they were little. Stephen, even now, is still held up as somebody who was really welcoming, and we know at this point that God has welcomed him home.
Hello, my name's Roz from Living Waters. During COVID, a few of us decided that the Lord was telling us to meet on Paint and Green and worship together. And Stephen was instrumental in helping us and supporting and just being so encouraging. And we joined with many from this church and other churches across the bay. And also a few of us were prayer walking around Paint and Stephen joined us. So he's been such an encouragement in the togetherness and bringing us together in the bay, and I thank him for that.
My name's Bill, representing the wider church of Torbay. We were delighted to have Stephen come into our midst and share with us among the crazy people who get up at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning to go and pray all around Torbay. And Stephen's heart for revival in the church, the wider church, not just the church to which he'd been called, was inspirational. The courage with which he faced his illness was inspirational. And the passion, day by day, week by week, that he displayed was inspirational. I'm sure you don't need any more inspiration. This is a man of God who we would all do well to emulate. Bless him.
Thank you.
Mine's a funny story. During COVID, this strange man rode up on his bike, knocked on our back door, and then stood back, and we knew who it was. It was Stephen. And he'd come to visit us because we hadn't seen each other for a while. And he stood back, and we stood in our doorway. And he prayed with us. We laughed together. And I will always remember his face on that day.
Anyone up top? I'll be up there next.
Thank you. My name is Anne, and I was a member here when Stephen came. And I shall remember two things about Stephen I will always remember. Lots of them, actually, but this particular occasion. I said to him one day, "Oh, we're flat hunting." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Well, we've sold our house and we're going into a house with a granny annex, and the other family haven't sold theirs yet. So we're looking for a flat temporarily until we can move in. So we're flat hunting." "What for?" I said, "Well, we've got to live somewhere." He said, "Oh, no, you're coming to live with us." I said, "Pardon?" He said, "You're coming to live with us." I said, "Does Leslie know this?" And he said, marvellously, it was her idea. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
And I will always be grateful for that. That was a very special time for me. Yeah. And the other thing is more recent, almost exactly a year ago, he married my new husband to me. That was a bit of luck, wasn't it? So we have some very good memories of Stephen. Bless you, and Leslie too. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. I'm going to run upstairs. Just so you knew I was running.
I'm Angela. I'm the leader of the Girls Brigade here, but mine is also a funny story. Just after Stephen came, my mother was getting less and less able to move around. And one Sunday morning, I was parked out the front, trying to get the wheelchair out and her out of the car. And once I'd got her in the wheelchair, Stephen took over, ran her up the ramp of the Crosslink Centre and into the church and parked her where we normally sat. And he loved doing that. He did it several weeks in a row, and I just thought that was so great. But also, he was always happy to come and join in with the girls at Girls Brigade. He would sit with them in their learning groups. He would lead them in their devotional times. And the girls just loved him. And I know at least two of our girls are here today.
Thank you. Anyone else up here? Ooh. Can you pass the lollipop along for me?
Thank you. I'm Nigel. I'm a regional minister for the association. And Stephen was a valued member of the ministry, not only here in Torbay, but across the association. But he didn't make my heart jump at times. He was full of faith and enthusiasm. But in my 12 years now as a regional minister, he's the only person that bought a house before he was actually called to the church. with such faith. Are you sure you've done the right thing? Yes, I am sure. But that was Stephen and Leslie all over. Thank you.
Right, I'm heading to the relay hall, so bear with us. Right, we're on the local sound system now. They can still hear us. But there's technical issues if you have a microphone under TV, apparently. So anybody in here, now I've bothered to come around, would like to share an anecdote, a story? Great.
Yeah, thank you. Just seeing what his daughter was saying earlier about him being really bouncy. I always refer to him as Tigger because he's just so bouncy and full of joy. Yeah, that's my memory, really.
And he had the T-shirt to prove it. Anyone else in here? Dee.
I'm Dee. I'm a member of the church. And when I first came into the church, Stephen... it was just, I hadn't been in the church long. And Stephen said, I've always got time for people. And I went through a bad time, and he came straight away with Leslie. They had such a pastor's heart. And they encouraged me to come to church that Sunday. And I sat on the balcony, and I praised God. And I didn't know Stephen had seen me on the balcony. But I came out that service, and I quickly went down the stairs to get out the front door as fast as I could. But before I got down to the stairs, Stephen was stood there. He'd come from the stage to the bottom of the stairs, and he gave me one of those big hugs that I'm sure we all know. And he said nothing, but just gave me that hug. And I'll never forget such a pastoral heart he has for the people of this town and this church.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Last year, we moved into a painting in August. Person we met. And since then, he really made our stay in painting a easy one for us. He gave us someone that gave us where we can park our car. He gave us someone that made our bed for us. In fact, he's a good man.
Yeah. Thank you. Here you go, Ian.
Thank you, Mark. Well, people who know, members of this church will know that I edit the recording of the service on Sunday and upload them to the website. I'm pretty technically minded, but websites being blind do cause me a bit of a problem. And Stephen kind of came up to sit with me at my computer and helped me navigate through the website. And now it's just second nature to do it. And another thing, during COVID, there were no services here, but Stephen and Leslie used to record one on their own, and he'd bring the recording up to my bungalow in the porch. I've got an outdoor jacket hanging up there, and he used to put it in the pocket. It was like a dead letterbox. I used to do the editing, put it back in there, and he used to come and collect it with the next week. Wonderful, and just a lovely man who I adored. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Liz.
When my daughter Connie was very young, she was in the church and they were talking about prayer, and she prayed for chocolate cake. And I remember a while later, Stephen came round with a chocolate cake. It was just such a lovely thing to do, so special.
Hello, my name's Stephen. I've come today with my wife, Jill. We were married in 2013. At the time, we were wanting somebody to marry us. It would be different from the rest. I didn't know this guy, Stephen, but I soon got to know him quite well. You all know he's a special person. I found out then he was a very special person. So special that I hadn't realised till afterwards. Whenever he spoke to me, he was several steps ahead of me. And that was something quite amazing about him. He was filled with wisdom, the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be a very hard act to follow. So I've missed a lot, not having known him for the last 12 years that we've been married. So I'm rather envious of those people that are here. But, yeah, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
I only knew Stephen through the toddler group, bringing my grandson here. But I didn't understand what a man of God was until I met him.
Thank you.
So we came to the church a few years ago, and I'm not a regular churchgoer, but Stephen always really welcomed us. And I know when I lost my father-in-law, and we didn't know who could lead his service, he gave us his time and led the service without even knowing my other half's family. He was so generous.
Thank you.
Hi there, Paul Knights. It was just great knowing Stephen. First time I met him, I was at the Monday morning prayer meeting, and probably three quarters of us go to a cafe locally and have breakfast. And I sat next to Stephen. I didn't know who he was, and I tried to kind of, when new people came in, find out where they came from and who they are. And I said to Stephen, "What's your name?" And he gave his name, and he said, "I've just come to Paignton and bought a house." I went, "Okay, why is that?" He said, "I can't tell you." I said, "Why can't you tell me?" He said, "Well, I can't tell you why I can't tell you. But when I can tell you, I'll tell you." I went, okay. I thought a bit of a strange guy. Anyway, in a couple of weeks' time, he said, "I'm going to do a preach at the Baptist Church in Paignton on becoming the preacher there, the minister." I went, "Oh, right. Well, perhaps we can pray for you as the Monday morning prayer meeting." And that's what he asked us to do. And it was just a privilege and an honour to know him. What a great guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that I didn't know Stephen that well, and I didn't share fellowship with him that much. But whenever I did, he would be speaking in tongues more than anything else. I could tell that Holy Spirit was active in Stephen so strongly. Such a lovely man. Bless him.
Yeah. We'll make this the last one, if you don't mind.
I just remember Stephen in the morning prayer groups. He was probably the loudest praying in tongues person there, and we will miss that. We miss him. We've got some loud people praying there, but we'll miss Stephen.
I'm going to go back in the other room. Which would be pretty impossible to coordinate with microphones and screens. So I would just ask, within this room, if you're led over the next sort of 5 minutes or so, we'll have open prayer in both rooms. Please pray, and then I'll come back in and switch you back into the live service. But I'll leave you offline just for a little while. We're going to have a time of prayer now. Hopefully, you know, you felt moved by some of those memories and recollections about exactly what we can be thankful for over this life well lived. So I've asked David to lead us off, and then it's really open prayer. If three or four would like to join. The other room are praying on their own because it's just too difficult to try and tie it together.
Holy Father, we thank you for the leadership of Pastor Stephen Coles of this church, Paynton Baptist Church. He was not only a loving pastor, but also a friend to many of us. We pray that as we move on, you will help us as a church to continue to be united, kind to everyone, Spirit-filled worshippers who hold out the word of life to all. May we and all the churches in the area continue to grow in love and numbers as we honour you, Lord, above all else, and also to honour the legacy of Pastor Stephen. Amen.
Don't worry about the microphone, just best outside voices if you'd like to pray.
Thank you even more so for his present existence in your holy presence, knowing that he is experiencing your glory, your presence, your beauty in ways of them, and the fact that you always left feeling much better than when you came. Pray for your continual strength to be upon Leslie and the whole family. Pray that your comfort will rest upon them, and that truly this will be a new chapter for Leslie, one that you haven't written yet. One that you are very familiar with. So as her good shepherd, will you lead her along these paths of righteousness, and will you cause her to experience your waters of rest, even as you take her along the meadows of the green pastures that you are now leading her into. supply all of their need according to your riches and glory. And that, Lord, the work that was started and sustained in this place through this precious man of God will only go from strength to strength, and all will be to the glory of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you. We're going to take another hymn now. It's the third one in your order of service. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. It's the goodness of God. Thank you. Ted?
She's not looking. the reading today is from John chapter 14. I don't know if the words are going to appear on the screen, but they are certainly up on the wall for us to see up there. So this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him."
Thank you. Is that about the right height? The height, okay.
Well, hello everyone. My name's David Butler, and I'm a member of the preaching team, which was set up and encouraged by Stephen. I count it a tremendous privilege to be standing here this afternoon in front of this company of people to share a few words with you as we celebrate the life of our dear pastor and friend, Stephen. You'll be pleased to hear I only have 4 sheets. But part of what I'm going to say is because Leslie has told me to say it. And the rest of the things I was proposing to say, by and large, have already been said by all of you. I will reiterate them. At least I feel confident now that what I've written down is true. It's really good that you could all come along to Paignton Baptist Church today. I know some of you have come a long way, some of you closer to hand. But thank you all for coming. And I'm sure, as far as Leslie and the family are concerned, your presence is a tremendous encouragement today. Some of you have known Stephen much longer than I have, but during his 6 years of ministry here, he has achieved so much. It does not seem real to me to be referring to him in the past tense, especially as I was looking at those photographs that we were seeing go round on the screen earlier on. We felt here that he had so much more to offer. Someone said to me only the other day, "What am I going to do without his hugs?" And as been said already, Stephen was a great hugger, a loving man who treated everyone the same and lit up every room he walked into. Many of us at the church here have benefited from the wonderful hospitality regularly offered at the manse on Sunday lunchtimes. Leslie's cooking is renowned, and Stephen would run around clearing all the plates and dishes and things after each course that we'd had, and providing a coffee afterwards. Listening to Rachel earlier on in her short speech, it it seemed to me that all the traits which we've become used to here over the last 6 years were present during the whole of his adult life. His energy was legendary. He was, as has been said, a bouncy man. And Leslie's pet name indeed for Stephen was Tigger. And only yesterday, up on another screen, was an image of him with a T-shirt on, with Tigger emblazoned right across the front. Anyone familiar with Paignton Baptist Church before Stephen's arrival, if they were to have experienced coming here more recently for worship, would have noticed a real difference. The makeup of the congregation is different. The music has moved on with the development of a small but gifted group of singers and musicians. And Stephen led the worship so effectively with his big 12-string guitar, using his powerful voice. And that is something we're really going to miss. But most importantly, under Stephen's leadership, the Holy Spirit has been gradually permeating this fellowship. As people have become less fearful of spiritual gifts and have moved on in their spiritual lives. And even me, at my advanced age, I have learned new things from Stephen's teaching and experienced activity of the Holy Spirit in new ways in my life. A number of people have discovered gifts which they never knew they had. Debbie Onslow, a member here, who has become a recognized local minister recently under Stephen's tutelage, said to me just the other day, she would never have achieved that without his help and encouragement. Even church meetings have become enjoyable. They have become spirit-filled, participative and inclusive times. Stephen often came along with so many ideas that sometimes it was a job to keep up with him. But he always had an emphasis on two things, discipleship and outreach. He established 4 new discipleship groups just this last year. He thought that every church activity should be outward looking, and he never wanted us to be introspective. And as more new activities started up and new people came through the doors, he kept encouraging the church here to build bigger barns. And has become very apparent this afternoon, Stephen became very well known in the neighbourhood, not just among the churches, but he would often be found talking to passers-by and local business people. And each week he would go and sit in the Inn on the Quay, which some of you will know, to map out his sermons. And people would be watching what he was doing, and he was always pleased to discuss with them what he was doing if they wanted to know. Stephen was a real man of God. He loved God's word, the Bible, and he showed joy and excitement whenever he discovered something new from the scriptures. He also loved God's living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had 2 catchphrases which he often employed. Often he would say, "At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus." He often said that. And often, if there was a theological discussion going on, he would say, "Well, of course, the answer's in Romans. I wonder what would Stephen say to us this afternoon. Well, during his awful cancer, his faith and trust never wavered once. And he would encourage us, I'm sure, to be the same, despite the difficulties life throws at us all. He would want us to continue to discover more in God's Word, to study the Bible, so that we were able to hold out the Word of life to other people. It seems to me that often people get confused about what happens when we die. And I think that's true in a lot of churches, of people in those churches, as well as people outside of the church. For the Christian, it seems to me, it is at the same time quite simple, but profound. And everything hinges on Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to be put to death, but that on the third day he would rise to life again. That was the most amazing promise ever made. And it was fulfilled. It came about. And there were many proofs of this, including one occasion when he appeared to 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. And we can read in the scriptures about all his appearances to the disciples in the upper room at Pentecost and at lots of other times. And therefore, if that promise was kept by our Lord, we can trust every promise he ever made. He promised the criminal who was crucified next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." And in that well-known passage, which was so ably read for us just a few minutes ago, the disciples, it seemed, were confused. It's as though they thought Jesus was going to some destination somewhere and they would need a map to get there. But Jesus said, "No, I am the way and the truth and the life." There it is. It's been up there for many years on our back wall. "No one will get to the Father except through me." Where has Jesus gone? I'm speaking to the converted, I know, but I'm conscious that there are people among us today who are not yet believers. In Luke's account of Jesus' ascension after he had risen, in Acts 1, the disciples saw him taken up before their very eyes, the word says. And two messengers from God appeared and said that Jesus had been taken back up into heaven. And that's where Stephen is, praise the Lord, free of his human body and safe in the care of the Saviour he loved, who knows him personally. And the same future awaits all true Christian believers. Compared to life in this broken world with all its suffering and injustice, heaven is better by far. In heaven, the spirits of the righteous are made perfect. And even apart from his physical body, Stephen will be enjoying the love and presence of Jesus in that angelic realm. For those of you who may be amongst us this afternoon, and you're very welcome, who haven't yet become believers, let me urge you to think about all these things you've heard this day while you've been here. And maybe today could be the momentous day where you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen would absolutely love that. Help yourself to a little gospel. There are plenty out in the vestibule there. It's the Gospel of John, and it's entitled, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." It goes through the whole story of Jesus' life and right through to his resurrection. Talk to somebody before you go home about these things. Ask a Christian you trust or one of the leaders here what you need to do to inherit eternal life. You won't need a sat-nav to find your way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, David. Our closing hymn is entitled, "There is a Hope." It's a word we've heard a lot this afternoon, isn't it? I love the prayer about Stephen and the NHS and the hope that he shared with people. I was with Stephen at his last couple, at least, consultant appointments. They couldn't get a word in edgewise. So, seriously, we were in there for a good half of the appointment with him being Job, though he take my life, I have no other hope. That was the witness. That was the trust. That was the faith. So hope's a good word to take home today. But let's sing about it now. There is a hope that burns within my heart. When we finish, can you stay standing? Because we're going to do something special to finish. folks from the church family to come and join us, just to put hands on them as we pronounce this blessing. But we're all going to say it. It'll be on the screen. And this is us speaking hope into the lives of Leslie and this family. So if it's up there, it is. Let's all say this together. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. So just a reminder, everybody's welcome. Afternoon tea in the hall. Please, the stewards will show you the way, but leave through the front of the building, walk up the side street and into the hall. The memory books, they're in the hall here, but just in the vestibule, but they'll be up in the refreshment area as well. Do please write something in there, you know, for Leslie and the family, if you'd like to share something. But thank you very much for coming. Thank you for being part of our celebration and our Thanksgiving. God bless.